This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Mart, the New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Swing and a miss. Down he goes, and the Red Sox win it. That was 95 miles an hour, punching the mitt. 9-4, Red Sox take an important game one here against the Rays at the Trop.
So here we go, off and running. Red Sox beat the Rays 9-4 last night in Tampa. First game of a three-game series and first game of a two-week stretch that'll take us right through the annual trading deadline and ultimately, I think, to serve decide the fate of the 2019 Red Sox. We're going to open up the phone lines right away, 617-779-0985. Again, trading deadline's a week from tomorrow. Week from tomorrow. And remember, unlike other years, new rule this year. New rule with the trading deadline. One deadline, that's it. No waiver deals after July 31st. In the past, after July 31st, if a guy cleared waivers, you could still trade him. And if you got him in your organization before the 1st of September, that guy was eligible for the playoffs. No longer true. Anyone you have, when is the deadline next week? Isn't it like at 4 p.m. typically? I think they put it in the afternoon, right? It's 3 or 4 in the afternoon. It used to be midnight, but they moved it. So next Tuesday.
Yeah, 4 o'clock.
Okay, next Tuesday by 4 o'clock, the Red Sox roster will be final for 2019. Now, when I say final, I shouldn't rule out the possibility of picking up someone who's released, what have you, but they're not going to be able to acquire anybody significant by trade. Okay, so 617-779-0985. We'll get to last night's win. We'll get to this upcoming string of games against Tampa Bay in New York. 14 in a row, 8 of them before the trading deadline. That ultimately, I think, will decide the fate of the 2019 Red Sox. That's number one. But where I want to start is with that trading deadline. Alex Cora made this comment before last night's game against the Rays. Okay, before the game against the Rays, he was asked about the possibility that the Red Sox could become sellers at the deadline. Now, remember, in the John Henry era, which is really, 18 years now that John Henry has owned the team? Only once have the Red Sox ever sold at the deadline. That was 2014 when they moved, among others, John Lester. But that's the only time they've been sellers. Okay, so Cora said before last night's game, the front office has a job to do. Obviously, our goals are set to win the World Series. If it doesn't look that way and they go somewhere else, meaning the front office, and take another approach, you've got to respect that. At the end, we have to perform and we have to win games. We haven't been consistent about it. We have to play better, win games, and I'm not saying put pressure on them, meaning the players, but at the same time, show them, yeah, this group is capable. And I misread that. I'll tell you in a second. We know the group is talented. It's just a matter of going out there and performing. And that line, I'm not saying put pressure on them, but at the same time, show them, yeah, this group is capable, meaning put pressure on ownership and Dombrowski, upper management, to go out and add. Okay, so that's where the Red Sox are. You tell me right now what you want them to do. Do you want them to add? Do you want them to subtract? Do you want them to do nothing? All three are viable options. So we'll start there, 617-779-0985. That said, tangentially attached to all of this, and maybe not even tangentially, is Mookie Betts. Okay, Mookie Betts, who will be entering the final year of his contract next season. Mookie Betts is eligible for free agency at the end of 2020. And he was asked, finally, by a member of the Boston media, Christopher Smith of MassLive.com. He was asked point blank, there is a perception out there that you don't like Boston, you don't want to be in Boston. Mookie Betts replied, "It's completely wrong. I've loved it here. I love the front office, my teammates, coaches, everybody. It's been nothing but amazing here. Just because you go to free agency doesn't mean you don't want to be somewhere. It's just a part of the business." And then Smith writes, he knows some people have interpreted his desire to test free agency as disliking it in Boston. Betts replied, "I've never said that. I've always said I loved it here. It's been amazing to me, my family. It's like a home to me. It's been all I know. And just because you exercise something in the business, that doesn't mean I don't like it." Murray, do you believe him?
No, I do not. No.
I'll say this. I think it's much like David Price. I think he likes his teammates. I think he likes the clubhouse. He might even like the team. It's just that everything else that comes with it, I don't think he's very much of a fan.
Okay, so let me make this part of it clear, because I don't want this discussion to deteriorate. And this all does relate. You know, this is all tied together now. We're at that time of year. The Red Sox are playing a critical stretch of games. We have 8 days to go until the deadline. They've been really treading water all year long and have done nothing to inspire any level of confidence in anybody. So what's it going to take over the next week for the Red Sox to convince you that they should add, or that they should subtract, or that they should stand pat? Now, in the middle of this is Mookie. Now, they are not, and I want to make this part clear, they are not going to trade Mookie Betts at this deadline. If they do, I'll be shocked. I will be shocked if they move Mookie. But they are going to be faced with a decision on Mookie Betts late in the year, meaning November after the season's over. Mookie's got 1 year left. They can't let an asset like that walk out the door and get nothing. I don't think, especially with the emergence of Rafael Devers. Mookie Betts says he loves it here. I hear that and say, I don't care what you say. Why do people get caught up in what the hell a guy says? What he does is what matters. And I'm still waiting for somebody, and we asked this on the afternoon show, I'm still waiting for someone to give me an example, other than Alex Rodriguez of NCC Sabathia, who opted out of existing deals and then re-signed bigger deals with the Yankees. Other than those two guys, name me someone who is a superstar status, who got to free agency and then re-signed with his existing team. I would like to know. It felt to me like the Tigers tried to sign Max Scherzer when Dombrowski was there. He left. And I'm just throwing names at you. Mike Trout has re-signed with the Angels, and he never got to free agency. But most guys either re-sign and never get to market because the organization deems them valuable enough, and the player wants to stay. So he either signs before he hits free agency or he leaves. So in the case of Mookie Betts, does he really want to stay, or is he just saying that? Because when I hear him say, "I've never said I don't like it here," you know who it reminds me of, that comment? Nomar. And again, we talked about this on the midday show, or in the afternoon show, rather. When with Nomar Garciaparra, he was clearly sour, miserable. He really undermined the culture in the locker room and the clubhouse and the overall happiness in the clubhouse. Mookie's not doing that. Nomar was borderline divisive at times. Okay, Mookie's not doing that, at least to the best of my knowledge. But are you going to let this guy go into the final year here and then walk and get nothing? Nothing? Can't do it. Can't do it. So you got to go up to him after the season and say, "Look, one more try. What's it going to take?" If he doesn't give you a number, you know what? He doesn't want to stay. He doesn't want to stay. He can say whatever he wants. You can believe the bull crap if you want. I'm not believing it. We'll get to last night's game, too, and certainly Trivia Tuesday later on in the show. We'll see if we can actually get someone to answer the questions correctly this week. And I also want to get to Nathan Eovaldi's debut, which we'll do a little bit later in the show as well. 617-779-0985. Guys in Newton, go ahead, Guy.
Hey, how's it going? I think the biggest thing here is the objective is to win the World Series. That's not going to happen this year. I think that's clear. The objective isn't to, you know, make the wild card game and lose in a game. So I think it's time to sell. You keep Bogarts, you keep Devers, you keep Sale, probably even Price because no one's going to take him. But you clean house, you get ready for next year, and you're ready to win the World Series next year.
Okay, so, Guy, when you say, are you still there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, when you say that they're not going to win the World Series this year, none of us knows that, right? I mean, obviously, if they were to get hot, do you believe that they have the talent to win the World Series?
I think they have the talent, but they don't have the heart. You know, we've seen other teams with the talent, but, you know, when you get to that level, you're in that final push, you got to have the heart to do it. And, you know, I think the young guys, they're fat and happy after last year, as you guys keep saying, and I agree. And I just don't think they have it this year. They don't have that fire.
Okay, so
they have the talent, but
yeah. So Guy, listen, I happen to agree with you. It doesn't feel like it's going to happen. What are we now? 101 games in? Is that what it is? Aren't they like
60 left?
55 and 46 or whatever they are. I think they're 101 games in. Maybe it's 102. But they're basically right there. It hasn't happened. It doesn't feel like it's going to happen. But it's not unprecedented for it to happen. Maybe not to the Red Sox, but the Rockies in 2007 made a run at the World Series by winning, 17 in their final 18 games of the year. I mean, they got on some preposterous winning streak, but they won it. The Cardinals in 2006, I think they finished the year 82-80 or 83-79. Then they got hot in the playoffs and they won it. So it's not unprecedented for a team to get there, have talent, and win. That is not unprecedented. We all believe they have the talent to win. The point is that they haven't shown us to this point that they're really interested in winning. It doesn't feel that way anyway. 617-779-0985. Last night's win, good start for the Red Sox in this big stretch against Tampa Bay and New York. It's a big start. Or was it? We'll explain when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Man, the 3-2 runner going, and that's in there. He struck him out. He fans Zunino to strand one.
Eduardo Rodriguez was the story last night. He earned his final strikeout there. 7 innings scoreless. It's a great stat on Eduardo Rodriguez today. Over the last 2 years, starting at the beginning of the 2018 season, minimum of 40 starts in the big leagues. There were only, let me get the exact number for you. I think it's 42 pitchers or something of the like. Nope, more than that. 82. 82 pitchers since the start of last year that have at least 40 starts in the big leagues. Where do you think Eduardo Rodriguez ranks in winning percentage? Murray?
Well, I already know, but...
Don't guess then.
Yeah, I won't.
Billy, you want to guess? You don't know the answer. Billy doesn't want to guess. See, this just sucks when Jimmy's not here. Is Billy like, it's all focused because he has to be serious. He can't give me answers to questions. For crying out loud. Fourth. Eduardo Rodriguez has the fourth best winning percentage among all what I will call qualifying starters in baseball over the last year and a half. Fourth. And there are still people who get pissed off at Eddie Rodriguez. This is proof, by the way, that your number four and number five starter can't win you the division. It has to be at the top. Your superstars have to perform. And so those guys aren't coming through. Eduardo Rodriguez is not the problem. Jackie Bradley's not the problem. Christian Vasquez is not the problem. Those guys are all end of the rotation, end of the lineup guys. You expect them to be inconsistent, and if they're good, great. But they alone are not going to change your fate. Eddie Rodriguez had a great year. So, good win last night for the Red Sox. 14 games coming up, or 13 left now. Tampa and New York. And you have to win a good number of them to get back in this thing and presumably inspire your management, Dave Dombrowski, to go out and add something at the deadline. I think that's what you have to do. Last night's a good start. Marty, does it change your opinion about the team?
Sure does not.
Okay, what do they have to do? And I'm going to use the whole 14-game sample here just to make it easy. But in these 14 games, what do they have to do to change your mind?
Win at least nine. They have to win at least nine of those.
And especially the more important series are the ones against the Yankees, who, you know, you're no longer really chasing the American League East. You're not going to get them, but you have to, I don't know, you got to show up because you got to think you're going to end up seeing them in the postseason, because they've been a complete wagon this year. And I think it was towards later in the week when you weren't here. The other thing is they reminded me a lot of the Red Sox last year in terms of like the balls that they have. The little meltdown that Aaron Boone had last week in the doubleheader against Tampa Bay. It's like, ooh, all of a sudden the guy that I looked at as the weak link of this team found a pair. And the team has been playing that way like for most of the season. So you've got to show up against the Yankees and have a good series against them. So if you can get to 9 or 10 wins, all right, then I'll turn around how I feel about this team.
See, to me, 8-6 doesn't do it. And I you know, I'll use the simple math. 9-5 is a winning percentage over .640. Okay, that's the equivalent of a 104 win season. But that's where you are. You got to do something like that to snap me out of it. Like last night, good win. Excuse me. Good win. But it doesn't do anything to change the reality of what the first 100 games of the season were. Last night was game 101. After tonight, you get 60 left. 60 left. So nothing to this stage. One game last night is supposed to erase the first 100? Like, we're supposed to judge it on that? No way. They gotta make a little noise here, and then maybe I'll come around. Tony's in Kingston. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, T. How you doing?
Good. What do you got?
Do you don't think that they already had this discussion with Betts as to whether he wants to, you know, what's it going to take? Because I firmly believe that if they don't get rid of him at the trading deadline, then they're desperate sellers next year with a guy who's essentially, it's like the rental, like you were speaking earlier about Abreu. You're basically going to try to find somebody who wants to rent Mookie Betts for 2 months, and really, what are you going to get in exchange for that?
Tony, why can't you trade him in the offseason and someone gets a full year out of him?
Would you really go down that road? Essentially, you become the Red Sox again, unless you're able to convince him to sign a long-term deal with whoever they trade him to. I mean, that's the only way. I think he's one of the top five ball players in baseball myself, you know, hitting, you know, from the field standpoint. But I just can't see how you can continue to hold on to him, because you're going to end up becoming a desperate seller. I got to figure they already spoke with him. How much is it going to take for you to stay here? And obviously what they have heard, and I do agree with you, I saw you last night as well, I agree with you. I just think that they have no shot at signing him, and I think they know that.
So, Tony, that's how I feel. Again, you can tell me all you want about Mookie Betts saying that he has liked Boston and, you know, that he appreciates the teammates and blah, 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 blah. I don't care. At the end of the day, I don't judge them on what they say. I judge them on what they do. Xander Bogaerts re-upped. Xander Bogaerts said, no, I want to play in Boston. And he has Scott Boras as an agent. He did it. Mookie doesn't want to sign. Now, look, the rubber will meet the road with Mookie Betts. Maybe the Red Sox go to him at the end of the season. I'd be surprised if they trade him at the deadline. I would. I can't imagine that ultimately they're going to move him. Not in the middle of the year when they still have a shot. As discouraging as this season has been, they're still in it. They're still in it. I can't believe they're going to trade him now. If someone knocked me over, if I were running the team and someone knocked me over, I would do it. They won't. Dave Dombrowski can't bring himself to admit that he has a team that's a failure. He can't do it. Okay? As arrogant as Dombrowski is, he's going to sit here when they're in the wild card race and say, I'm going to cut bait now and get out? No shot. But after the year, they should go to Mookie and say, okay, final offer here. Well, tell us what you want. Is there any number that we can give you to get you to sign right now? And if he says no, well, then you say, well, we have to move you. We can't sit here and get caught holding the bag. And as I said, the rubber will meet the road, because if they go to Mookie Betts, and I think the closest team to his home state, he's from Tennessee, Murray, right?
Correct.
So the closest team to his home state is Atlanta.
Yeah.
So if all of a sudden the Red Sox say, we can trade you to the Braves, but they want you to sign, you think Mookie will sign?
Oh, yeah.
See, I do too. I do too. You know why he wants to go to free agency? Because he doesn't want to sign here. It's not about maximizing the value.
Yeah, he just strikes me as a guy, like, for all his talents, it's kind of like the David Price thing. They'd rather be in a market where people don't care as much.
So the more I think about it, the whole, you know, I want to go to market, I want to get what I deserve. You know what I think that is? A smokescreen. He doesn't want to be here. He wants to play somewhere else. Dan's in Abington. Dan, what do you got?
Yes. Hello, Tony. Great show. I just wanted to make a quick comment about Mookie Betts and the season in general. You've made many mentions on your past shows that you've compared Betts to Mike Trout, or is he more closer to Andrew McCutchen? And just given this season and the astronomical amount of home runs and offense in the game, and Betts' numbers are subpar, do you think maybe the Red Sox are looking at it and saying, we don't want to sign an Andrew McCutchen-type player to this huge contract that he's going to want? Maybe they don't want to sign him based on what they're seeing this year.
Sure, yes, I wouldn't rule that out. They look at him and say, well, we don't think he's worth $35 million a year. Or, you know, what Arenado was worth or what Trout is worth. Again, the biggest contracts in the game right now, and I don't have them in front of me, but I think in terms of average annual value for positional players, I think it's Mike Trout and Nolan Arenado. They both re-signed without going to free agency. And it's a bad free agent landscape at the moment. That's the other thing that Mookie should factor in here, is that a lot of guys who are hitting the market aren't getting the money they thought they were going to get. Bryce Harper got $300 million over 10 years, it was. I think Harper got 13, 3 and a quarter. Machado got 10 years and $300 million, or maybe it was 330. Somewhere, I get the numbers mixed me up. Those guys hit the market. They're not the highest paid players in the game. Those guys stayed with their existing teams. I asked this question before. How many superstars have hit the market and re-signed with their own team? Jerry's in Brookline. You got names for me?
Yeah, you got A-Rod. He opted out at the end of his contract that he had signed with Texas when he was with the Yankees.
So, Jerry, Yankees went and, yeah. Jerry, I'm going to stop you because I said, other than a guy who opted out, okay? So, because Sabathia also opted out, and I said this when I asked the question. Sabathia and A-Rod both opted out and then re-signed with their teams. I want to know someone whose contract was up. In other words, the team, you know, it wasn't the player's choice to opt out. He was up. The team didn't re-sign him, or maybe he came back to the team. Who? He hung up. He doesn't have an answer.
Yeah, no one really seems to have an answer.
Because I don't think there is one.
Other than the two that have been mentioned. It's the opt-outs from A-Rod and CC Sabathia.
So forget how much you love Mookie Betts, people. Forget it. Okay, try to forget how much you love Mookie. Give me an example of a superstar player in his prime in baseball whose contract, or he was eligible for free agency, not because he could opt out. You know, he couldn't assess it. It's not like he could assess the market, right? Because A-Rod and Sabathia were able to assess the market and say, no, there's more money out there. No, I'm talking about the guy whose deal is up or he's eligible for free agency for the first time in his career, won't re-sign with his existing team prior to that, and then goes back and takes the deal. So I want someone to give me that example. We'll get to Nathan Eovaldi. Maybe some people would say that Nathan Eovaldi is one of those guys. I don't think he quite qualifies, but we'll talk about his return to the Red Sox after Murray gets you caught up on that.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brings up Yandy Diaz. Up the middle. A dive and a miss by Bogaerts. That'll bring in another run. Meadows in to score. Diaz with the RBI single, and they've scored their third run in the inning. So that'll make it 8-3. And Eovaldi showing rust here tonight.
That's how it went for Nathan Eovaldi last night at Tampa. The savior of the Red Sox bullpen got smacked around. We'll get back to your calls here in a minute. Just quickly, time for the Rodenheiser Heat Zone. Who's Hot? Brought to you by our friends at Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and electrical. Mookie Betts, 19 game on base streak. He's hitting .368, 10 extra base hits, 10 ribbies, 25 runs scored. Mookie's played better lately. He played a lot better lately. He's been terrific. Ball's not going out of the ballpark, but he's playing very, very well. So Mookie's been hot. Again, I don't think the Red Sox are going to move him, but at the end of this year, they have a major decision to make. And this brings me back to the callers. I asked the question, name me a big time free agent who got to free agency without an opt-out clause. Okay, the opt-out clause gives the player the best of both worlds. He can stay in his existing contract and make big money, so there's really no risk. Or he opts out because he knows there's a market for him. Different. I don't want the opt-outs. I want to know the free agent who hit the market and ended up going back to his team for a big contract. I don't think there are many of them, but I want names. I want names. Corey's in a car. Billy, I froze up here. So Corey on line two. Corey, what do you got?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What do you got?
So definitely not a player of Mookie Betts' caliber, but Chris Davis of the Orioles, I think he hit free agency the year or two after he had that monster 50-plus home run year. And the Orioles basically bid against themselves with Scott Boras and signed them back to a huge contract.
Okay, so not bad. Not bad. I mean, he did. He got, I want to say, 100 and something million, 150 million, something like that. He got a lot of money. He's not Mookie's caliber, but that's at least a name. Better than anything else I've gotten so far. Kenny in Wilmington, go.
Hey, Tony. I got a guy for you. It's a little older, but Bernie Williams from the Yankees used the Red Sox this free agency year to get back with the Yankees for more money.
Okay, so again, that was 1999, if I remember right. That was, what, 20 years ago? I mean, the Red Sox had Carl Everett that offseason. So 20 years. That's a long time. That's the best anyone gave me something 20 years ago. Let's go to Jay in Weymouth quickly.
Man, it's 15 years ago, Boston Red Sox, Jason Varitek.
Okay, he was only $40 million, and he's not a superstar. I raised Varitek's name, too. It's not the same. Mookie is looking at like a $300 million deal. Varitek was 4 times 10 back then. It's not the same. So I'm just telling you, when a guy like that says he wants to go to market, he wants to leave. And more often than not, he does. So we all know the number of big free agents. Now, we could all rattle off a million free agents who've changed teams. But the guys who hit the market without the opt-out clause and then go back to their teams, there aren't many. Very, very few. John and Alston on Nathan Eovaldi last night. Go ahead, John.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say real quick, I know he didn't look very good, but that's exactly the type of closing mentality that most closers have when they come into an 8-0 game. Positive attitude about Nathan Eovaldi.
John, are you sure that he's going to close?
I don't know. Who knows? I just wanted to also say on Mookie Betts, when he made those comments and not mentioning the city or the fans, that makes me think that David Price might be in his ear a little bit. And I think the team should look to Bogarts to be the leader if they want to win the World Series this year, because he seems like the only one who understands how to win and then go through a season the next season after winning and play poorly. He knows, you know what I mean? That you don't necessarily get to rest on your laurels the next year, because he had a bad year after winning the World Series in 13. He's the only one who's gone through this before.
So, John, look, I think that the Red Sox have already told us that they regard Bogarts as more of a, I'll say, clubhouse centerpiece or leader. That's why they gave him the money they gave him. I mean, $20 million a year for Bogarts is a pretty good deal for the Red Sox. I thought he was going to want something like 25 or 30. He was willing to take the 20. And I think the Red Sox made it a point to sign Bogarts early, because they knew that Mookie was going to be a problem. And they did the same thing with Sale. They found two guys who were willing to engage in talks. They're both centerpiece guys, albeit for different reasons. And the thing that has really swayed me, the emergence of Rafael Devers. Devers is now a legit middle-of-the-order bat. He's legit. He and Bogarts, you get one more in there, whether it's J.D. Martinez or who knows who. You probably have enough. You don't have the best offense in the majors anymore, but you probably have enough, particularly if the rest of the guys in your lineup are half decent. Okay, you can't have total bums there, but one more with Bogarts and Devers, and you're onto something. Okay, it's that time. First five callers to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985 right now. You'll have a chance to participate in Trivia Tuesday. I think we have a limited number of contest lines, Billy, right? So they can also call the talk show line, which is the regular number. If you can answer three questions correctly, you'll get a $100 gift card to Bertucci's, the official pizza of baseball fans. And here's the bigger prize. You will be automatically entered for a three-night stay at the Tamarind Aruba All-Inclusive Resort. You should Google it, Tamarind Aruba All-Inclusive Resort, Tamarijn. You can get all your Google reviews and everything there. It looks like a fabulous place, provided by the Aruba Tourism Authority, and the travel is courtesy of JetBlue. That's a good get. Trivia Tuesday is next.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Trivia Tuesday on the Baseball Reporter. This is where your baseball knowledge can lead to fabulous prizes. And now, here's your host, Tony Mazzarotti.
All right, here we go. That time of the week. You never know what kind of stupidity comes out of the mouths of Red Sox fans. That's what I say. And I don't necessarily mean the callers up until this point. I mean the people that answer these questions on Trivia Tuesday. You can get three in a row correctly, you'll get a $100 gift card to Bertucci's, the official pizza of baseball fans. And again, you'll be automatically entered in a drawing for a three-night stay at the Tamarind Aruba all-inclusive resort provided by the Aruba Tourism Authority and travel courtesy of JetBlue. Wow. Boy, is that a good get.
Great prize.
I'd like to send Jones to Aruba. One-way ticket. I can find a lot of people to take care of you on that one, Jones. All right, anyway, here we go. Steve is in New Hampshire. You're the first caller of the night. Steve, you there?
I'm here.
Hey, you ready? Boy, you sound excited, too. You ready to go?
Yep.
Okay, here you go. First question. The Red Sox hit three home runs last night in the 9-4 win over the Rays. Name two of the players who homered.
J.D. Martinez.
Yep.
And Andrew Benintendi.
That's correct. You got that one right. Good job. Right. For the sake of clarity, that's right. Sam Travis was the third, but good job. Okay, number two. I asked this last week. I'm going to ask. Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to do that because you might have been listening. Okay, besides the Red Sox, Nathan Eovaldi made his return to the Red Sox bullpen last night. Besides the Red Sox, he has played for four other teams in his career. Name two of them.
The New York Yankees and the Baltimore Orioles.
Yankees is correct. Orioles, incorrect. Okay, so we let Steve go. He only got one of them. He made a decent run. Halfway through the second question, got it 50% right. Mitch is in Quincy, caller number two. Mitch, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, boy, you sound excited too. You guys are just bubbling with energy this week. Okay, here you go. A year ago at roughly this time, the Red Sox acquired Nathan Eovaldi from the Tampa Bay Rays for this left-handed starter. Who is he?
Jalen Beeks.
Jalen Beeks is correct. Good job. He pitched against the Red Sox last night. You sense a theme here, Murray?
Yes. Very Tampa-ish.
Yeah. And also, we're focusing on last night's games because if we go anything beyond like a couple of days, nobody remembers anything. People just can't get these things right.
Short attention spans for the
people. Exactly right. You get that right, Murray. Okay, here's your next question. Only one pitcher in Major League history has ever totaled both 100 saves and 100 complete games. He did pitch for the Red Sox at one time. Name this current broadcaster.
Dennis Eckersley.
Dennis Eckersley is correct. Very good.
Hey.
Good job, Eck. All right, we're getting to the final question. We actually have a chance here. You want a hard one? You sound reasonably bright, Mitch. You want a hard one?
Thanks, I appreciate that. I'd prefer an easy one, but...
Okay, since you said that, I'm going to give you a hard one.
Yeah, give him the hard one, Maz.
Xander Bogaerts is one of five major league players in history from the island of Aruba. Name any one of the other four.
Didi Gregorius.
Didi Gregorius is incorrect. Incorrect. I'm sorry, I should have let him grow longer. Uh-huh. Would have made for good audio. Didi Gregorius is incorrect, but good job. Billy, was he caller number two?
Yes.
He was caller number two. Okay. So we'll go to caller number three here, who is Drew in Northbridge. Drew, are you there?
I am.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
All right, excellent. Let's see. How far is the pitching rubber from home plate?
Six inches.
Hey! All right, good job, Drew. What'd you do? Did you Google that?
Just enough time to look it
up. No, it took me a minute to get off 90 feet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's right. Last week, someone guessed 90 feet. Those people are just clueless. But good job.
That's me.
Okay. Next question. Which player in the Red Sox has played for every team in the American League East? Which player on the Red Sox roster has played for every team in the American League East?
Pierce.
Steve Pierce is correct. Good job.
Hey.
Good job. All right, Drew, how old are you?
40.
You're 40? Okay. This should be in your jurisdiction then. During the 2000 season, Red Sox pitcher Pedro Martinez once triggered a bench-clearing brawl with the Tampa Bay Rays when he hit a batter with a pitch. Name this member of the Tampa team who charged the mound and started the brawl.
Oh, man, I want to say Williams, but I don't know if that's his last name.
I need a first name.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Greg Williams?
Huh? Oh, I think he's
Greg Williams.
No, it was not Greg Williams. Okay, get him out of here, Billy.
So, Billy, what do you think? Is Williams good enough?
No, get him the hell out of here.
Okay, no, Drew's out. Sorry,
Drew. Swore.
Yeah. He did. He swore. Yeah, can we get a, you know, had you not sworn, then maybe we would have let you win. I'm kidding. You got to get the first name. It's too generic a last name for me to allow that in all seriousness. You got to get the first name. Dan's in Draco. Dan, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, here we go. How far apart are the bases?
90 feet.
90 feet. Good job. You're paying attention. I like to hear that. Good job. Okay. Let's go to... Okay, here you go. In the 1999 All-Star Game at Fenway Park, Red Sox pitcher Pedro Martinez struck out 5 of the 6 batters he faced. Who was the only batter Martinez faced that he failed to strike out?
Oh, you asked this question last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I
did. And you didn't look up the answer, did you?
No, because I tried to be fair and honest.
Well, that's your first mistake. You don't want to be fair and honest. Is this our buddy Tom in Quincy, caller number 5? Tom, is that you?
It is me.
Okay. Tom, who's one of the more cynical and negative Red Sox fans in the area, and that's saying something. Okay, so here you go, Tom. First question. To the nearest whole number. I'm going to ask you harder questions because you pay attention. To the nearest whole number, okay. How many innings did Nathan Eovaldi pitch in relief, and the Red Sox lost to the Dodgers in the World Series last year? I think that was game 3.
It was almost 8, 7 points something, so almost 8.
Tom, I got to let you go. That's incorrect. It's incorrect. It was not 8 innings. You're not that far off, but it wasn't 8 innings. Adam Jones is coming up here. That's the end of Trivia Tuesday this week. Is that too hard a question, Murray?
Yeah, anything with math is going to be too hard. You could say, what's 2 plus 2?
I thought we were going with last night's game.
Get math the hell
not
out of
always.
It.
Not always. Not every question's about last night's game, Jones.
That would take too much preparation.
Yeah, people aren't going to get off first. They're not even going to get to first base.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.